This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. To deal with and hopefully limit climate change, pretty much every part of the economy will have to do something differently, including the industries often blamed for environmental damage, like the logging industry. For a long time, in the forests around the Great Lakes, logging meant clear-cutting and then letting the forest grow back with fast-growing trees. But now, some are rethinking that approach. They're leaving prized trees in the ground longer to sustain both their industry and the environment. Minnesota Public Radio's Dan Crocker has our story.
John Ryla is a fourth-generation logger, an Ivy League grad who says he's as much a tree hugger as he is a tree cutter.
Well, this is hallowed ground that we're about to walk into now.
He hikes into a 6,000-acre tract of land he calls Wolf Lake Camp that his family bought over 50 years ago. A hawk soars overhead among old-growth pines. More than 20 other species of trees, from yellow birch to red oak, surround clear lakes. It seems like a protected park, but if you look closely, there are signs that this is a working forest.
There's a 2-year-old stump. There's a 15-year-old stump.
Ryla stops in front of a giant white pine tree. He estimates it's about 120 years old.
It is of immense quality because it is nearly 24 feet to the first limb. That's music to a logger and a sawmiller's ears and eyes.
Because it could be made into long, straight, valuable timbers. But then he says something that catches me off guard.
I don't know that we'll ever cut this tree down.
Ryla practices a more ecological approach to forestry than clear cutting. He leaves behind many of the most valuable trees for the health of the forest and to provide seeds for future big trees.
We're in the lumber business. We're in the millwork business. We need these trees for our mill, but we need them for a seed source more, so we just have to be patient.
But it's hard to be patient on the time scale of a tree, says John Pastor, a retired forest ecologist who's written a new book on the white pine.
Profits have to be deferred for when you cut the big trees. And that could be 80 years down the line.
But there is eventually a payoff, Pastor says, for those who spend the time actively managing the forest and delaying their harvest.
But then when you cut that tree, it's going to be a really valuable tree. So that's the trade-off.
On a nearby plot of U.S. Forest Service land, ecologist Brian Pollack says more landowners are interested in this kind of forestry, one that manages for a diversity of tree species and ages, and tries to mimic nature by cutting down select trees to imitate a fire or a windstorm. But it's not a widespread approach.
Because to be able to do this takes resources, and you have to be able to sell timber in some form or fashion, sell wood, to be able to pay for the kind of management that we're looking at here.
For John Ryla, he pays for that forest management by selling high-quality products at a premium. In a big metal building in the tiny town of Deer River, Minnesota, workers transform freshly cut trees from the forest we hiked earlier into wood paneling and other custom products.
That is some really special stuff.
Ryla holds up a long plank of 6-inch-wide paper birch flooring. He says this sells for $6 a square foot, but he's confident there's a market for it.
Minnesotans care about their forests, and if we can tap into their desire to play a role in that, well, this is a win-win, and a huge amount of the money that is generated from this revenue is going back into the forest.
He estimates 50% of his profits are used to manage the forest to grow future generations of trees. In Deer River, Minnesota, I'm Dan Crocker for Marketplace.